voice. Welcome and Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
His Holiness Bhakti Chura Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Pradyumna Prabhu Ki
Jai.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, do you all like Hare Krishna movement?
Yes.
What's so special about the Hare Krishna movement? Besides becoming a vegetarian and a teetotaler, what's so special about Hare Krishna movement? We'll say.
You get to serve the deities.
Okay, very good point. You get to serve the deities. And what else?
Chanting.
Chanting what?
The holy name Krishna.
Very good. What's the holy name like?
Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
What's the Hare Krishna Mahamantra like?
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare.
So you like to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
Yeah.
Why do you like to chant this?
It's fun.
Why?
It's fun.
Yes, he raised his hand.
Before,
it's
ecstatic love for Krishna.
Wonderful. Ecstatic love for Krishna. Yes, that's what the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is. Hare Krishna movement is for. That's what the Hare Krishna movement stands for. It teaches us how to love Krishna. Everybody wants to love somebody. And everybody wants to be loved by everybody. Now, what do we actually want? What does one want out of this loving exchange? Maybe we can get into, consider that. Pradyumna Prabhu, why do people want to have this loving exchange?
They want to be happy.
Very good. Love, from love we want to be happy. Actually, now let us consider, what is happiness? Can you tell me what is happiness?
Bliss, joy.
Bliss, joy. Actually, bliss, joy is not really happiness. Bliss or joy is more than happiness, something that is beyond happiness, something that's more than happiness. Happiness has been described as cessation of pain. When the painful condition is reduced, then we call that happiness. In the material nature, what is our condition like? What is our existence like?
Miserable.
Huh? Yes, I heard something.
Miserable.
Miserable. Very good. In this material nature, you realize that? Thank you, he's very smart. In this material nature, everyone is miserable. But not that everybody recognizes, not that everybody understands that he is miserable. He is miserable, but he doesn't realize that. Like, for example, a person in a very painful condition in a hospital, suffering. You go and ask him, how are you? What does he say?
Good.
Good, I'm fine. Thank you. Although they're suffering, But they think that they are fine. Actually, they know that they are not fine, but they think that tomorrow they will become fine. This hope and expectation that the ultimate objective will be achieved, that is what everyone is trying for. So, our existence in this material nature is miserable, is very painful, is very difficult. Therefore, this material nature has been compared to a prison house. Dukkhalayam Ashvashatam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna described this material nature as a place of misery, Dukkhalayam. And if anybody is enjoying, then that enjoyment is Ashvashatam, is temporary. Another way to look at it is that we are existing in this material nature with this material body. Now, what is the condition of this material body? Material body has been described as an instrument to receive pain. It's an instrument to receive pain. How do you understand that? Take any part of your body. Take any part of your body. Just consider any part of your body. I'm asking you to think of any part of your body. Which part do you think of?
Head.
Head. Very good. Now you're considering how many ways you can give pain to your head. That's a very subtle way of giving pain. What if somebody takes a stone and smashes your head? Okay. In this way, there's so many ways we can think of causing pain to our body, this part of the body. Can you think of some other part of the body?
Right hand.
Which part of the hand?
Fingers that you chant.
The finger that you chant. Now you consider in how many different ways you can give pain to this finger. You can take a knife and you can cut it. How will you feel?
Suffering.
You can take some fire and burn it. You can take a hammer and smash it. Now, in this way, you can consider in so many different ways you can inflict pain upon every single part of your body. Isn't it? Now, what does it signify? That this body is actually meant for receiving pain. Because now when you consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to your body, say the finger of your right hand, you can inflict pain upon this finger in so many ways, but in how many ways you can give pleasure to your finger? Can you think of any way?
By chanting?
By chanting, how does the finger feel? Anyway, the point is, you can't really give any pleasure to any part of your body, whereas you can inflict pain upon your body in so many different ways. What does it signify? That this body is meant for receiving pain. So this body is meant for receiving pain in a place which is meant for getting pain. Now when that painful condition is reduced to some extent, then we call it but as you say, bliss, joy, bliss and happiness is not really the same. Joy and happiness is not the same. Actually, nobody knows what joy really is, or bliss actually is. Nobody knows in this material nature. Though there's bliss or joy, this actually the Sanskrit word for bliss and joy is anandam. And this ananda is experienced by the exchange of love with Krishna. Love, now let us consider what is love. Can anybody define love? What is the definition of love? Yes?
Serve.
Love is to serve. Okay. Who?
Because of you having a relationship with, so whether it's a mother serving their child.
Yeah.
Father serving his
love, serve is not really love. Service is an expression of love. But not love itself. Will anyone venture to define love? Come, it's such a common word. Actually, in English language, love is considered to be the most used word, most popular word. But when it comes to defining it, why is it so difficult? Love, actually, this is the thing, because nobody knows what love is. What goes on in the name of love is lust. Lust is an arrangement to exploit others for one's sense gratification. Therefore, love and lust is diametrically opposed. Love and lust is not the same thing. Now let us look for the definition in... Can you give me that cluster? Let's look for the definition in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are two expressions. Love has been described as prem. The Sanskrit word for love is prem. And the Sanskrit word for lust is kam. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing that Atmendriya Pritivansha Tarevoli kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema. The desire for our own sense gratification is called lust. But the desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses is called prem. So what is prem? Prem means, or love means what? To give pleasure to Krishna's senses. And what is lust? Lust is the arrangement for our own sense gratification. So is it the same thing? No, it's completely opposite. Therefore it says, অতএব কাম প্রেমে বিবিধ বহুত অন্তর, কাম অন্ধতম প্রেম নির্মল ভাস্কর। Therefore, there is a great difference between love and lust. Lust is the deepest region of darkness, whereas love is brilliant as the sun. Now, again, we go deeper into that expression. What is love? Love is actually an energy. And energy is manifest in performing some act. Through energy, we get something done. So what do this energy love do? This energy love unites the soul with the Supreme Personality of God. This energy is there. Through this energy, the living entity is connected to Krishna, or meant to become connected to Krishna. Now again, we go back. What is the relationship between Krishna and the living entities? What's the relationship? What is a living entity in relation to Krishna? A living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. Now, a part is meant to be connected to the whole. If the part is isolated, if the part is separated from the whole, does that part have any significance? Does the part bear any significance? Like if my finger is cut off from my body and lying on the floor, will that finger have any value? The value of the finger is in its connection to the body. The moment the finger is connected, is separated from the body, it loses its value. So similarly, the living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. The utility of the existence of a living entity is in its connection to Krishna. If a living entity is not connected to Krishna, then living entity's existence doesn't bear any meaning. It's meaningless. Why? Because it has become separated from Krishna, separated from the whole. And what is happening to us in this material nature? In this material nature, everyone is standing on his own, isolated from Krishna, trying to find some meaning or purpose of his existence. But does it actually have any meaning or existence of his existence? Everybody thinks that he is very important. But do the rest of the world think that they are important? In most cases, not. And even if someone becomes important, for how long does his importance last? The moment he leaves this body, leaves this planet, the moment he dies, all his utility is lost. So the utility of one's existence lies in his connection to Krishna. We all are spirit souls. Do you all accept that? Who are you? How many of you think that you are spirit souls? Please raise your hand. How many of you think that you are your body? Please raise your hand. Very bold declaration. Okay. So, we are in reality, at least we have found out from Prabhupada's books that we are spirit souls in our actual identity. And what is the body? The body is only the external covering of the soul. Anyway, that has been elaborately explained in Bhagavad Gita. I don't want to get into that. But a general understanding I can see most of you accept that you are a spirit soul. And that spirit soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. How many of you accept that? That the spirit, you are a spirit soul, and the spirit soul is a part and parcel of Krishna?
Okay.
Now, if the spirit soul is a part and parcel of Krishna, then shouldn't the spirit soul become connected to Krishna? How many of you think that that is, that that a spirit soul must be connected to Krishna? Now, what is the means to become connected to Krishna? How can a soul become connected to Krishna? Here comes the word love. Where is love situated? Did you ever come? I'm sure you know that. Huh? Where is the love is situated? In the heart. Very good. And why in the heart? Because heart is the seat of the soul. And love is with the soul. Therefore, love is generated from the heart, from the region of the heart. Don't we say, I love you with all my heart? Yeah, okay, very good. And soul. Did you ever hear anyone saying, I love you with all my head? We never come out such expression. We love with our hearts. Why? Because love is with the soul, and soul is with the soul is situated in the region of the heart. Now, this love, as I mentioned earlier, is the energy that unites us with Krishna. So, this energy is meant for uniting us with Krishna. But when you are oblivious of Krishna, when you are forgetful of Krishna, then what happens? We have our love in our hearts, but we forgot Krishna. Then what happens? Did you ever consider? You all know. Because we forgot Krishna, we try to offer our love to somebody else. And through that offering of love, we want to experience joy. So this is how love and joy are interrelated. Through love we want to experience joy. But that joy will be experienced only when the love is offered to Krishna. But instead of offering the love to Krishna, when you offer our love to somebody else, no matter whoever it may be, through that love we want to experience joy or bliss. But do we get that? No. The point is, only when the love is offered to Krishna, the heart will experience the joy that is hankering for. Now, do you want to be joyful? How many of you want to be joyful? Okay, very good. So now, if you want to be joyful, then what are you going to do? Aren't you going to function, or aren't you going to act in a way that will give you the joy? And the way to do that is offer the love of your heart to Krishna. Today I thought I was late. So, and Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, is teaching everyone how to love Krishna. So So ISKCON is actually establishing the real meaning of our existence and showing us the way to fulfill our existence. It may sound like a very big claim, but it is true. If you want to be not only happy, if you want to become even more than happy, if you want to become joyful, then please come to ISKCON and act according to the instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given in his books. ISKCON is the institution that has been designed by Srila Prabhupada to distribute the love of Godhead, love for Krishna, to teach us how to love Krishna. And is Prabhupada concocting some ideas or developing some new way? Or no. Srila Prabhupada is actually presenting the process that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has given. Prabhupada is not created, and Prabhupada did not create anything. Krishna has given us this, all these informations. And one of the main books is Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna himself spoke. Krishna gave gave this knowledge in various ways. Basically, Krishna at the time of creation, Krishna gave this knowledge in the form of the Vedas to Lord Brahma. But then he personally came about 5,000 years ago and gave the essence of the Vedas in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is actually the summary study of the Vedas. What are the essential teachings of the Vedas has been presented in Bhagavad Gita in a very simple way. Bhagavad Gita begins with, so what is the name of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
Observing the obvious.
Yeah, but the Sanskrit name for that chapter, do you know?
Arjun Vishadi.
Yeah, Vishad Yoga. What is the meaning of the word Vishad? Vishad is lamentation. Why does one lament? Does one lament when he is happy? One laments when he is in distress. When one is miserable, when one is suffering. So Arjuna was suffering. So that is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Bhagavad Gita Krishna gave through Arjuna to us. For our sake, Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. Arjuna is the object. Arjuna is the nimitta, means. Like the Gita Mahatmya described that the Upanishads are like a cow. That all the Vedic wisdom is like a cow. Krishna is the cowherd boy. Arjuna is the calf. So the cow gives milk for the sake of the calf. But what does the milkman do? The milkman milks the cow. The cowherd boy Krishna milked the cow, making Arjuna the means, the medium. But who drinks the milk that the milkman collects? Intelligent class of people. So Krishna milked the Upanishads or the Vedic wisdom in the and the cow and the milk that he got is Bhagavad Gita. And who drinks this milk of Bhagavad Gita? The intelligent class of people. The intelligent people drink. Leicester has so many people, but how many have come here? Only few of you. So that means you all are intelligent and they are. Only Krishna knows what they are. So it takes an intelligent person to appreciate this milk and drink it. So this Bhagavad Gita has been given by Krishna, which is the essence of the Vedas, for the sake of intelligent people who want to make their life successful. So, now what is Krishna teaching in Bhagavad Gita? Let's go chapter by chapter. As I said, the first chapter is Arjuna's lamentation. Now, we all are suffering. And when we approach Bhagavad Gita, then what do we find out? How to get out of our suffering condition and become joyful. That is the ultimate that's the ultimate purpose of Bhagavad Gita. And at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is reminding Arjuna? Arjuna's lamentation was due to what? Arjuna's lamentation was due to his bodily concept of life. Arjuna was thinking that his actual identity was his body. But Krishna pointed out that he is not really his body. He is a spirit soul. So our lamentation is due to our bodily concept of life. Did you ever consider what is the cause of our lamentation? What's the cause of your suffering? The cause of your suffering is the bodily concept of life. Identifying, as long as we identify ourselves with the body, we remain in a suffering condition. So Krishna is pointing out that your body is not your actual identity. Your real identity is spiritual. And then Krishna identified the qualities of the soul. What is the soul like? What's the difference between body and soul? The first consideration was that the soul is the proprietor of the body. The body is there. We do not deny the body. But the soul is the owner of the body, the proprietor of the body. And there is a difference between the body and the owner of the body. The body is alive only as long as the owner of the body is in the body. Only as long as the soul is in the body is alive. When the soul leaves the body becomes dead. The body dies when the soul lives. But does the soul ever die? The soul never dies. The soul is eternal. The soul is immortal. The soul cannot be cut by any weapon. The soul cannot be burnt by fire. The soul cannot be drowned in water. And the soul cannot be dried by air. In this way, Krishna established the identity of all of us, our real identity. And then Krishna briefly explained why we came to this material nature and what are we meant to do in this material nature. And in simple words, Krishna said that we must act according to the instructions of the Vedas. And Krishna explained, in this material nature, the divine arrangement has been made, like different departments are controlled by different demigods. And developing a harmonious relationship with the demigods, living entities should live peacefully, happily in this material nature. And after describing that, Krishna mentioned that this knowledge he gave to first to Vivashvan, the sun god. And then Vivashvan gave this knowledge to his son Manu. Then Manu gave it to his son Ikshaku. And in this way, through a disciplic succession of the saintly kings, this knowledge had been coming down. This knowledge had been flowing. So when Krishna said that, when Krishna told that he gave this knowledge first to the sun god, Vivashvan, then Arjuna questioned that, Krishna, you were born just the other day, but Vivashvan was born so many millions of years ago. So how can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashvan? Then Krishna replied that, Arjuna, many a times you have taken birth, I also have taken birth. But you have forgotten about all your previous births, whereas I remember them all. And then Krishna says, I actually don't need to take birth. And although I don't need to take birth, although I am unborn, but still I appear in this material age, time and time again. And why I come here? I come here to establish dharma. I come here to establish the law and order that has been given by the Supreme Personality, given by me. What is dharma? What is actual religion? Religion is the law given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when there is a decline, when people do not abide by the law, when people do not respect the law, when do not act according to the instructions of the law book, then there comes a need to establish the law and order. And I come now to do that. And how do I do that? I annihilate those who do not accept the law, and I protect those who abide by the law. So in this way, in the fourth chapter, Krishna established his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, chapter by chapter, Krishna gave more and more information how to develop our relationship with him. In the sixth chapter, he told about the Ashtanga Yoga, the science of yoga, the science of becoming united with Krishna, united with him. And by the way, after that, he mentioned that this process of yoga is the most important of all spiritual activities. And then he pointed out, after saying that, he mentioned that of all the yogis, one who loves him, he is most intimately connected to him. Now, can you relate to what we discussed before? What is love? How many of you remember what is love? Do you want to say? What is love? What's the definition of love according to our discussion?
Doing activities that would please Krishna.
Okay, but before that, what did I say?
Satisfying Krishna's energy.
No, you're right. Yeah. Love is an energy. Where is it?
In
the heart. With the soul. And what is the purpose of this love? What is love, this energy meant for?
To be in Krishna.
To reunite us with Krishna. You have forgotten already. I took half an hour to discuss. So in the sixth chapter, Krishna actually makes that point. That those who have developed their loving relationship with Him, they are most intimately related to Him. Now, can you relate now? That love is the means by which we can become connected to Krishna. Not by any other means. Yoga ultimately means that love for Krishna. Yoga is not just some exercise or breathing and for healthy living. Yoga is meant for developing our relationship with Krishna. And yoga is the offering our love for Krishna is the ultimate yoga. And that is called bhakti. So in the sixth chapter, at the end, Krishna described that. At the last, the verse before last, Krishna actually mentioned that tapasvibhodhiko yogi gyanibhascha matodhika karmibhaschadhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. That tapasi, those who perform austerities and penance, in order to achieve the spiritual perfection, a yogi is greater than them. Yogi is greater than also a jnani. Yogi is superior even to a karmi. Therefore, Arjuna becomes a yogi. But then Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmanaha shraddhavan bhajate yo mam Same yukta tamamata. That one who has developed his loving relationship with me, one who is serving me with all his love, he is most intimately connected to me. And then Krishna begins to describe himself, who he is. From 7th chapter, 7 to 12th chapter, Krishna described his bhakti yoga. So first 6 chapters are describing karma yoga. The middle 6 chapters of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita describe about bhakti. And then the last 6 chapters from 13 to 18 describe about Jnana Yoga. So in this way, Krishna revealed the transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. Now, you see, Arjuna and Krishna were actually related to cousins. Krishna was Arjuna's cousin of about the same age. And they were very closely related, very intimately connected. They were very close friends. So Arjuna was treating, all along, Arjuna was treating Krishna as a friend. But then, when Krishna started to speak Bhagavad Gita, and when Krishna told that he gave this knowledge to Vivaswan, the sun god, Arjuna raised the question, how can I understand that you gave this knowledge to sun god? Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasyate. You are born the other day, aparam bhavato janma. And param janma vivasyate. Vivasyate was born so many years ago. And katham etat bijaniyan, tamado pratavaniti. How can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivaswan? Then Krishna started to answer that question. Krishna started to explain, ajo pisan appayatma, bhutana vishvaro pisan, prakriti shamadishthaya sambhavaniya avaya. That I am unborn, aja. Although I am unborn, ajo pisan appayatma, Bhutanam Ishwarupi Swayam. I am the controller of all the living entities. Still, Prakritim Sham Adhishthaya, taking advantage of my internal potency, I appear, I manifest myself. So this is how Krishna established the difference between a Jivatma and himself. Arjuna is a Jivatma, whereas Krishna is the Supreme Personality. So in this way Krishna established his Supreme Personality, Supreme Identity, or Krishna established his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only in the fourth chapter. As fourth chapter he started to reveal that identity very systematically. And then he explained how one can become related to him. How can a living entity who is a part and parcel can become related to him? Once again, let's go back and let's try to consider this point, because this is a very, very important point. How can one develop his loving? I just said it. How can one develop his relationship with Krishna? Through love. What is love? Love is the energy that is there with every living entity. It is there with every living entity. Every soul, irrespective of its condition, has love. And that love is meant to be offered to Krishna. And when that love is offered to Krishna, then the relationship develops with Krishna. We become connected to Krishna. We become related to Krishna. And that love, now let us consider what happens when we love. What happens when there is love? What happens? Is love a one-way traffic? Love is a two-way traffic. That means both the parties have to respond. If one party loves, the other party doesn't, is the love complete? Love has to be reciprocal. Now, here, see, Krishna loves us. Now, let us consider this point also. Does Krishna love us? How many of you agree that Krishna loves you? Now, if I ask you, how do you know? What will be your answer? The answer is going to be very simple. We have to just consider it a little thoughtfully, a little carefully. In order to be alive, what we need? One of the most important things that we need is food. Okay, air, very good. Air, water. Okay, let's start with air. We need air to be alive, right? Now, what we are, air means? What you are breathing. What you are breathing. So what we take when we breathe? Oxygen. But when we breathe out, what do we give out?
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide. So we are taking taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. Now if that process continued, then what would have happened? The whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. Right? And there would be any oxygen left? No oxygen left. If there was no oxygen left, could we breathe? No. Now, has there been any shortage of oxygen? Why not? We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. Why there is no shortage of oxygen? Because the trees and plants are taking oxygen, are taking carbon dioxide and giving out
oxygen.
Now who made this arrangement? Why? Silence. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Now all the food that we are eating, who is supplying that? How do you know? How do you know that Krishna supplies the food? Somebody may say that I bought the food from the supermarket, a grocery store. Very good, rain and sun. Let's go deeper into it. First of all, what do we eat? Grains and vegetables and fruits. Now, how do they grow? How do the grains grow? The seed falls on the ground. The farmer plants the seeds on the field. Right? And then he waters the seeds and they, from the seed comes out the plant. And then gradually or eventually in the plant the grains come. And then the grains are harvested and we eat them. And those grains that came there, in those grains there are plants. And in those plants there are grains. Or let us consider, we are eating a fruit. Where did the fruit come from? From the tree. How did the tree come from? From the seed. Right? And then we eat the fruit, and inside the fruit, there are seeds. Those seeds fall on the ground, again some tree come out. Some trees come out. And in those trees there are fruits. In those fruits there are seeds. In those seeds there are trees. And in those trees there are fruits. Who made this arrangement?
Krishna.
Who but Krishna can make such an arrangement? Can anybody else make such an arrangement? Why did Krishna make this arrangement? Because he loves us. Now let us consider water. Where is water usually? Water is in the ocean. But that water is not drinkable. Yeah, full of salt. That water we cannot drink. But what happens? And that water is far away. In the island of Britain, the water may not be that far. In most places, the ocean is far, far away. And that ocean water is evaporated by the rays of the sun. Then it goes up and forms the cloud. Then those clouds are carried by the wind to different, distributed to different parts. Then those cloud condenses and comes out in the form of water. Isn't it an amazing distribution system? And in this way, all the places in all the continents are getting supply of water. The original cause of water is this evaporation of water from the ocean and going to different places in the form of cloud and then coming down in the form of rain. Now who made this arrangement? Why did he make this arrangement? Now is only the food and drink and breathing the only purpose of our, only means of our existence or survival? Now, let us consider how precarious our condition is. Did you ever consider how precarious your condition is in this planet? What is the shape of this earth planet? Round. And where are you situated? Are you inside the planet or on the surface of the planet? On the surface of the planet. And this planet is it static or is moving? It's moving. Do you know the speed with which this planet is moving? It's about 1,000 kilometers per hour. It's practically the speed with which an aeroplane moves. Almost. So the Earth planet is moving with such a speed, and we all are situated on the surface. What would have naturally happened? We should have all thrown into the space. But did it ever happen? Did anyone ever got thrown into the space? No. Why not? Okay, gravitational pull. Now, who created this gravitational pull? Why? Now, this is one condition. Another condition is, Earth is moving at a tremendous speed. We all are situated on the surface of the Earth. Say, we are kept in our places by the gravitational pull. Now, if the planet stops to move for a moment, then what will happen? If for a fraction of a second, if the Earth moves, Earth stops to move, then what will happen? Did you ever consider that? A car is moving at a tremendous speed and something is kept on the top of the car. That's also moving. But if the car stops all of a sudden, then what will happen? Right, it will get thrown into the space. Did it ever happen? Why not? Who made this arrangement? So time and time again is being established how much Krishna loves us. Now the consideration is, Krishna loves us, but do we love Him? Do we love Him?
Yes.
Very good. But in many cases, they don't love Krishna. Many people don't love Krishna. Now is that love, say if Krishna loves you and you don't love Krishna, then will the love be complete?
No.
Then how does a lover feel when his beloved doesn't respond?
Hurt.
So can you imagine how Krishna is feeling? He loves us, but we don't respond to his love. Krishna feels so bad. Now, if someday we write a letter to Krishna, a simple 3 words, Krishna, I love you. Then how will Krishna feel? He begins to dance in ecstasy. And this is how our life actually becomes successful, just by developing our love for Krishna. All we have to tell Krishna is, Krishna, I love you. He loves us. It's only waiting, He's simply waiting for us to respond to His love. And there is, the love is there in our heart, it's only a matter of offering it to Him. And we are trying to offer it to so many different people, so many different objects. So why not offer it to Him? So that is what Krishna is appealing to us. And Krishna is telling us, just love me. He's not directly saying love me, because Krishna is feeling a little embarrassed. So he's simply saying, surrender unto me. That's the first stage of love, surrender. And when you surrender to Krishna, then our loving relationship begins. And then Krishna makes all the arrangement. Like this initial loving exchange is like that of a father and son. A very rich man has a son. And that son, if he goes away from the father, what will be his condition? Sometimes, some people become mad and they leave, they run away from home. And because they have become mad, they don't remember who is their father. And how rich is his father because he has become mad. And then that mad son, how does a madman, how is a madman treated in this world? He undergoes so many different types of difficulties. He doesn't get any food to eat. People laugh at him, mock him, beat him. He is treated in such a terrible way. But he is the son of a very rich man. And although the son has forgotten the father, although the son has gone away from the father, but the father remembers the son. The father never forgets the son. And the father waits for the son to come back. And that is how Krishna is actually waiting for us to go back to him. Like the father waits for the son to come back. And when the son wants to go back to the father, when the father gets to know that his son is there and he wants to come back to him, then doesn't the father make all the arrangements to bring the son back? So similarly, when we express our desire to go back to Krishna, Krishna will make all arrangements to take us back to him. That is how simple this loving exchange with Krishna is. And this is how most wonderfully we can become rewarded by simply offering our love to Krishna. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is reminding us. And that is why what Srila Prabhupada is reminding us. That's why it's so important to read Srila Prabhupada's books. How many of you became interested in Krishna consciousness by reading Prabhupada's books? Please raise your hands. So this is it. Just by reading Prabhupada's books, we become attracted to Krishna. We understand that how much he loves us, and we understand how simple it is to reciprocate our love for him, to re-establish our loving relationship with him. And that is how we can make our life successful. We have to remember this point very, very seriously. That the goal of our existence is to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. So let's try to do that. It's not difficult at all. And Prabhupada has shown us how simple, how easy it is. Now I told that about writing a love letter to Krishna. Now, yes, we can also write the love letter to Krishna saying how much we love him. But there is another way of expressing that love to Krishna, by saying, Krishna, I love you. That's even simpler, yeah? Even an illiterate person who cannot write. To write, you have to become literate. So if we are, even if somebody is illiterate, still he can develop his loving relationship with Krishna. Simply by telling Krishna, Krishna, I love you. He doesn't have to write it. He'll have to simply go to him or tell him, Krishna, I love you. And how do we say that in Sanskrit? We say that in Sanskrit, The Sanskrit way of saying Krishna, I love you is Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So you want to love Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you going to say that to Krishna? How will you say that? Say?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare